Turn your Bibles, if you would, to two places tonight. Ezra chapter 3. I know it'll take you a little bit of time right before Job and all those, and Psalms and all that. It's right before that, a couple of books. And so find Ezra. And then also find Haggai. Haggai is the third book from the Old Testament, from the end of the Old Testament. Haggai and Ezra. I started to say Hezra. To give you a little history on the portion of scripture we're going to read in Haggai. Haggai's where we're going to take our text, but I want to go back and pick up a little history in Ezra too. Babylonians, and we've talked about this many, many times, but to refresh your memory, the Babylonians had tore the walls down of Jerusalem. Walls was very important during those days. Walls was what protected people from invasion. So Jerusalem, their walls had been tore down, their temple had been tore down. It was a great, magnificent temple that Solomon built. And so they'd been taken captive. 70 years, Israel was taken captive. They have now been released. And Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, is able to come back. And Cyrus, had allowed 40 to 50,000 of the Jews to come back and to rebuild those things that had been torn down. Now, this was a big deal. It created a lot of excitement. You've got to remember, for 70 years, Israel had not been able to come back to Jerusalem. But when they came back, they found that Samaritans were fighting them, and they were oppressed, and they were persecuted by the Samaritans. Israel always had a rough time. Of course, Israel's brought a lot of stuff upon themselves. And they had this too. They had not kept the Sabbath of the land for 490 years, so 70 years they had to spend in Babylon. Then we find Cyrus let them come back. And then after King Cyrus let 40,000 to 50,000 of them come back to build, under the direction of Zerubbabel, to build the temple and so forth, then we find that King Artaxerxes, I guess how you pronounce his name, I'm not very good at his pronunciation, but he had heard false accusations from the Jews and had caused them to quit building. And his stop order had lasted for 15 years. And then King Darius come along of the Medes, and he allowed them to start work again. And so for 15 years, it had been dead work around there on the temple, the walls, and those type of things. A lot of people had lost interest. And so begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter number 2, the first 9 verses in Haggai, and keep your finger there, and we'll go back over to Ezra and read after we read these. Verse 1, chapter 2, Haggai. In the 7th month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. I had that all worked out till I got up here. Shealtiel, a governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who's left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as it is as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I coveted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now keep your finger there and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ezra. And look with me, if you would, in chapter 3, beginning in verse number 10. Talking about the same thing, same time. And said, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of King David of Israel. And they sang together by chorus of, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now turn back in your Bibles a moment, and I want to give you a thought or two from this, if you would. Picture, if you will, 70 years. A lot of people, a lot of young people, had never ever seen Solomon's temple. They'd heard about it, and as they were in Babylon, being captives, being slaves, working, their parents would say it, I'm sure, and they would talk about the old days. None of your kids, your parents don't ever sit around and talk about the old days, do they? They ever tell you how it used to be? How it was so much better back then? Well, that was what was going on in Babylon. Now, these young people had never seen the old. They didn't have an idea. And let me just say this, just throw it in. I know most of you know it. I actually feel sorry for children today. Most of them don't understand what family is all about. They don't understand how to love and enjoy a family. And I feel sorry for them. And to be honest with you, so many of them have so many different parts. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know who to call what. But anyway, getting back to this, put in your mind and think about all these young people that had not ever had a chance to see the old. And now they get here after 70 years, and they're born during this 70 years, and they get to go back to Jerusalem. Or they get to go to Jerusalem for the first time. And now they're part of this 40 or 50,000 that King Darius has said, you can go back and build the walls, build a temple, and you can start rebuilding things back the way that before they were torn down. And they were all excited. They was finally getting to go to homeland. Some of the older ones that remembered, they cherished the idea of going back and building the walls and erecting the temple. And so when they got back, everybody jumped in to work, excited, anxious. But then, as I said, they got a stop order. They had to quit building. Artaxerxes had said, and he believed the lie, and so therefore he said, you got to stop. You can't build nothing else. So as time went on, what they did was they began to build and mess around with their own houses and forget about the house of God. The zeal that they once had began to wear off. They began to say, what's the use? Things had changed. What's the use? Also, they begin to say, you know, it seems like we're just going through the motions anymore. Nothing's happening. Sometimes that's the way it feels during these days. I miss the time when we used to see people walking the aisle all the time. I miss that. I miss not seeing people saved. I miss a lot of things that we are not seeing that we used to see. I miss not hearing the shouts. Anyway, they also began to be so distracted in their own houses, they began to ignore the house of God. They began to get discouraged because the work had been slowed down and they couldn't continue. They were also disappointed, some of them, because they had saw Solomon's temple. Now they saw the foundation of this temple and it was no comparison to that. But let me say this. They were comparing the outside of the temple. They were comparing the material things. They were also disillusioned that the glory was going to leave. Now, in doing this, God raised up Haggai, Zechariah, Zerubbabel to motivate them and encourage them. Now, getting back in the process of rebuilding. So here they had the task of getting these people that was discouraged, especially the older people that had seen the old, they were discouraged. I can see that happening in today's society. I would think that maybe there's something wrong in this church. If it wasn't for everybody I talked to, you hardly ever talk to anybody that sees many people ever being saved anymore, which I believe is a sign of the times. I really believe it is. You can get people to go to and come to anything just about it rather than come to the house of God. They seem to have every excuse in the world. But can I say this? And I want to say this just passing. I want to thank you all for the number that we have on Sunday morning and the number we have Sunday night and Wednesday night. We've got some faithful people here. And I appreciate that. I appreciate people that comes and to look at this crowd tonight. I remember when, as Brother Porter says, I remember when, Lord, if we'd had this on a Sunday morning sometime, we'd been so tickled. If we'd had half this, we'd been tickled. But you know what? I do want to appreciate that. I want to let you know I appreciate it. But anyway, we are facing the last days. We, just like they, can get discouraged, disillusioned. We can get all those things. It's very easy to do that. You say, well, I remember when. Well, I remember when we used to have revivals 3 and 4 weeks long. But I'll tell you the truth. You can't get people show up for revivals 3 or 4 weeks long. I talked to Brother Billy Mitchell. Of course, he's getting real bad in health a while back. He said, you know what? He said, about all my revivals have turned into 3-day revivals. They can't get church show up for a week. And said 2 or 3 weeks out of the question. But anyway, here we have Israel doing the same thing. And so the people were getting real discouraged, and God sent Haggai and them to tell them to go. Now, in spite of the old days, in spite of what used to be, in spite of some of the glory that they remember, let me share some things that God reminded them through Haggai that they had. And can I say with us, we have these same things. And so therefore, we do not need to be discouraged. We do not need to be disillusioned. We need to remember what we have. Sort of like I preached this morning, there's some things that we need to learn and to remember, be thankful for. There are some things that this church will have. The Bible says we're 2 or 3 together in His name. he'll be in the midst. If two or three of us have not gathered together in the name of the Lord, then the doors need to close, because we've definitely lost. If he is not in, if he's not in it, we're wasting our time.
Amen.
But let's look a few times. Let me show you a couple things real quickly, if I can. Notice there, if you would, he says in verse number six, he says that he can shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. In verse 7, he says he can also shake the nations. Paul, writing to church about the latter days, he said that we should not be shaken in the latter days. Shaken means that we just get scared. We get out of sorts. God said, I can shake the nations when I want to. I can shake the earth when I want to. And by the way, he said in latter days he's going to be doing some shaking of the earth. And he has been. He says he's going to shake some nations. And he has been. But we as God's people need to be careful that we don't get shaken. We know that Paul wrote to us these things will come to pass. We need to be careful that we don't get discouraged. Those of us who remember when. And we look back and we see. And there's some times I treasure that we've had here. Some services I remember, and man, we've had such services. Would I love to have them like we used to? Absolutely. But there's been a change. But does it mean that we still can't have them? No. But follow with me a minute, and let's look at some things Haggai reminded them. First of all, he wanted to encourage Zerubbabel, because Zerubbabel was building, he was one in charge of building. And some people was looking at it, and they were just breaking out in tears, crying. Imagine how he felt. And they were looking at that building, but see, what they were doing was they was comparing the cosmetics. It wouldn't matter what kind of building it was, it mattered what filled the building. Did the glory of God fill it? And we'll get on that in just a moment. But let's look just a few moments, and notice in your Bible, there's some things that's always going to be there, and he reminds them. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. The Bible says there, and he reminded them, he says, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work." For what? Folks, we know that things are going to change. But we can remember this and have consolation. The Lord's with us. As long as the Lord is with us, he can do anything he wants to.
Amen.
And if the Lord departs from us, then we need to post a sign on the door, and we need to close the doors. But if the Lord is with us, that's all we need. If Lord's presence here, he can do what he wants to when he wants to do it. He's in charge. He's capable. He's able. And so sometimes when we get thinking, oh, us, how the old days have gone and how things have changed. But God wants us to know this one thing. He said, I'm still with you. I promised that I would be with you until the end of the earth. I promised I would never leave you nor forsake you. And therefore, when I came into your life, when you gather together and you form this church, when you gather together and you we're two or three together, meeting together in my name, he said, I want you to understand something. I'm still there.
Amen. Amen.
Don't forget, I'm still there. Now you be strong. You say, oh, preacher, I just remember how you be strong. So did these folks. But you know what his message was? He said, you all be strong. Know this one thing, I'm with you. I am there with you. Notice in verse number 4, he says, I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. So whenever we get discouraged, we need to understand his presence is with us. Look in verse 5. He says, according to the word that I've coveted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. He said, not only is my presence with you, he said, but I want you to understand something else. every promise that I made to you back then still holds true today. My promises have not changed. I still promise and I still covet, and the things that I coveted with you then are still true today. So he said, listen, you don't have to be discouraged. Don't you get down. And you need to understand, I'm still with you and my promises still stand. You say, what promises? All kinds of them. But let's just name one. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear them from heaven. I shall forgive their iniquity and I will heal their land. You say, is that true? His covenant, his promises that he coveted with Israel is still true today. His promises that he made us is still true today. Amen. Not only that, but notice as well in verse number 6. He says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and dry land, and I will shake the nations, and the desire of nations shall come. Something else I want you to be reminded of. His power has not changed. God can do anything he wants to do. Amen. Whenever he wants to do it. Somebody say, well, preacher, things sure ain't like they used to be. And you are surprised because do you not see his coming drawing nigh? Do you not understand the signs of the time? Do you not get it that things ain't the way they used to be? Have you not saw everything he said would be happening when it was near his coming, happening all around us? Have you not seen it even in our own midst of our homes, in the midst of our churches, in the midst of our nations? Don't be surprised. But know this. He is still the sovereign God that sits upon the thrones of heaven. He could do anything he wanted to. He could send angels and get anything accomplished. He could speak the word and it could happen. There's nothing that he can't do.
Amen.
And so listen. Don't get discouraged. Don't get disillusioned. Don't get disappointed. Understand, we still serve the God that's full of power. He has all power in heaven and earth. And even under the earth, he hasn't changed. I thank God that we serve a God. In Malachi, he said, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Not only that, but notice as well, the last part of verse number 7. He says, I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. Now notice here, his purpose is not to fill the house with people. Even though it'd be nice to see the house filled with people. You know what he wants a house filled with? His glory. He would say this. I'd rather see two people in the house of God give me glory than see 1,000 in the house giving themselves glory. I didn't come to fill my house with people. My house was made to fill with my glory. So when you come together, I'm jealous of my glory. If you're going to get up and sing a song, sing it to my glory. If you're going to get up and preach a message, preach it to my glory. If you're going to give a testimony, give it to my glory. Don't get up here and tell and hope that everybody will recognize something that you've done, some talent that you have, and something, and they'll praise you. So that's not what I fill my house with. And so therefore, when you're living in a time when the generation has been raised to think about nobody but themselves, they've been spoilt rotten, they've been told ever since they've been growing up that nobody matters but them. When they don't get their way, they quit and go home. They walk away. They don't stick nothing out. And it's not their fault they were raised that way. But listen to me. And so therefore, when you get them in a place And I praise God for our young people. We got some good young people. And I tell everybody around that. But there are a lot of people. All they think about is their own glory. They want to praise themselves. And if somebody don't brag on them, they get mad and they pout and go home. Somebody get up and sing a song. Somebody else get up and sing a song. And somebody says something good about the other song. And they're mad because nobody said nothing good about their song. Now, where was the glory all about? God said, listen, I fill my house with my glory. So listen, if there's just a handful of us, if he's getting glory, his purpose is getting served. Don't forget his purpose. And his purpose is his glory. And can I say this? There's places that's filling stadiums today. 40 and 50,000 thick. And all they want to preach on is themselves. And God would rather get glory out of a little handful of people that gives him their glory. So Haggai said, listen, folks, don't forget the purpose of this building. It's not to see if, how many people we can get in it. It's see how much glory is given to God out of it. Look on, verse number 8. He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. Psalm 50, he says that the cattle on 1,000 hills is his. He said, don't get discouraged. Provision. Rick and Brother Jr., we had change insurance and the insurance came due. And something else came due, the payment of the building came due at the same time, which made about between $3,500 and $4,000. $4,000 came in today. God says the silver is mine. The gold is mine. I don't know who gave it. I do too. The Lord did. I didn't ask any questions. I never ask any questions where the money came from. Because I just give one the credit. He said, it's all mine. That's what tithe is all about. Rick said, I'd need some money to make these bills. I said, lo and behold, the offering was more than enough to pay them. You know why? God said, listen, don't forget my provisions. Don't get discouraged. You do what I say, and when you need it, I'll make sure it comes in. Comes in all kinds of unusual ways. Somebody may have got a blessing this time, last week. I hope they did. I'm not jealous at all about it. But I know this. We don't need to get discouraged. He's still able to provide. He said, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'll make sure you got all the rest of this stuff. And you know what? Different ones of you at different times said, you know what? I needed this and the Lord gave it to me just when I needed it. You know why? He's still in provisions. He still does it. And last but not least, look in verse 9. The Bible says the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give what? Saith the Lord of hosts. You know he still is the author of peace. There is nothing greater in the world than to be able to have peace. I'm talking the peace that passes all understanding. You know, Jesus at times, the disciples would be in a ship and a storm would come upon the sea. He'd come up and say, peace. Be not afraid. Can I ask you something? In this troublesome time, when it seems like sometimes the whole world turns upside down, when elections don't go your way, when you can't see what's going to happen, when things are going on in the mist, what's it worth to be able to find peace? How many times have you ever been troubled and tore up and you came in here and God gave you some peace?
Amen.
He said, don't get discouraged. I understand the last days are here. I understand there's going to be things happening all around us. But understand this, I'm still the author of peace. I still can send peace in the midst of a storm. Is there anything better than when a storm's going on to be able to go up there and lay your head on a pillow and have peace and fall asleep? Such a tremendous gift. We used to have some neighbors there. One of them's died and the other one's moved on. But neither one of them was on very solid ground with the Lord, if at all. And a storm would come up and they would come over petrified. And she would call and she would say, "Can we come over if it gets real bad? Are you all in your basement?" I said, "No, but you can come over." I said, "I'll just fix and go to bed." "Don't you know they're giving storms tonight?" I said, "Yeah, but I know the author of the storms." But my point is, isn't it good to be able to come in and have peace? So tonight, yes, things ain't like they used to be. And some of these young people have never seen it on the order that some of us have seen it. But God is still all those things. So we just need to be strong and stay at it, amen. Let's stand tonight.